it's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here from Washington State, up near the Canadian border, you know, where we're going to be doing tomorrow. There's an event that we're going to be participating in, protest, but probably not going to get the crap beat out of us for holding the sign. Probably not. But who we're going to talk to. They'd love to do some, head bashing on in Australia, Max Egan. Now, Max Egan, he's a, radio host, commentator, activist, world traveler, author, lecturer, philosopher in New South Wales, Australia. And he's been I remember he was sort of backing off, taking a break a little bit, and then the pandemic thing hit, and it's like, I guess not, you know? So then he starts commenting on it, and the man didn't like it none too much. So this is what I wanted to talk to Max about. Max, the news that we do on Freedom's Phoenix, we cover Australia and the world a lot on this stuff. It surprised me at how two things. One, that it took Australians as long as it did for them to resist. I expected that to happen faster. But they're disarmed. You know, Australia used to have guns, and now they don't, and I don't know what they're going to do about it, you know. So there is resistance, though. And now you have, thousands of people in the street resisting against whom? It's the officers that are the Australian police that, and usually they always got some woman is like leading the charge and, super Karen with a badge or something and a bunch of muscle around her, arresting people, bashing them, shooting them with rubber bullets, and it may have even killed somebody. But there hasn't been any massacres yet. But there's been a lot of overrun of police lines and stuff like that. I'm wondering, the question that comes to my mind, the officers, the Australian police, who are these people that are acting this way? How do they get them to treat the citizenry this way? You know, is it because they're masked? Is it because they're anonymous? Is it because they're imports from Alpha Centauri? I mean, you know, what is it that's getting them to be this way, you think, Max?
I think all of the above. I think there's very likely infiltrators within the Victorian police that are probably soldiers from foreign militaries. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I can't confirm that. But the treatment that we're seeing meted out to the people of Victoria is just next-level violence. Really, really brutal stuff. They're not arresting people at all. They're just assaulting people in the streets and going out of their way to hurt them. Like, you know, running knee punches to the kidneys and bashed in the ribs with rifle barrels and things like this. Like, really, really brutal stuff. And I would suggest that a lot of them are actually imports that have infiltrated and are dressed as police, but are actually soldiers. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, Victoria, Melbourne's one of the strong cities. I think all the strong city networks are working together, and they're just basically showing the other cities how it's done. Victoria at the moment is virtually in a state of civil war. It's just that people don't realise it, and only one side of the force is armed. The other side isn't armed. peaceful civilians protesting their rights, and the police just aren't having a bar of it. Literally thousands of police in Victoria today, thousands of police cars around the streets, all with sirens going. Just next level stuff, next level stuff. I've never seen anything like it. I don't recognize my country at all.
Are they armed? The police, they're, with handguns and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They've all got handguns and batons and tasers, and they've got automatic weapons now. They're shooting rubber bullets. They've also got AR-15s of Victorian police if they want to pull them out. And they're basically following the crowds. Like, they're virtually hunting the humans through parks. I mean, people are there, a whole bunch of people, might be 1,000 protesters in a park, and you'll have the police come running in from the side, just shooting random bullets, just shooting rubber bullets into the crowd indiscriminately. And there's people getting bullets to the head and bullets to the knees and bullets to the back and just really, really violent stuff. And, they're heavily armed. They're all in turtle suits as well, body armor and helmets and shields, and just going for it. And they're really, really coming down as hard as they can to quell any protests and to scare anybody from standing up. This is why the Australian people haven't stood up until now. I mean, it's got to a point of desperation where they've got no other choice but to stand up. But the police here in Australia are incredibly brutal, and they always have been. And we don't have the weapons here to be able to defend ourselves against this type of brutality. And we need help. It's getting to the point where we need help. I mean, the United States has invaded countries for doing less to their population than what the Australian police are currently doing to Australian citizens.
My first question, when I see what we do see in the media, we try and cover protests around the world quite a bit on Freedom's Phoenix, but when you look at Australia, I don't see any of the news. It's all alternative media or somebody's phone or somebody, showing a depiction of some alternative journalist that recorded it. And I'm wondering what the official narrative is. I mean, if I'm grandma and grandpa, clutching my, security blanket on the couch watching TV and, scared and staying inside, what am I being told? These my fellow citizens out there are just not doing it right. I mean, what's the justification for this heavy handedness?
Well, these are anti-vaxxers that are out there endangering the community by spreading the virus, breaking lockdown rules and spreading the virus. These are all potential super spreader events that are going to make you end up in lockdown for longer. And it's all because of these selfish people who believe that freedoms are above the greater good of the community in stopping the spread of this terrible virus. That's what you're being told, which is all complete rubbish. So, yeah, I mean, that's what they're using. And unfortunately, a lot of people believe it. I mean, you've got 50% of the people in this country still believe what the TV tells them. It's unbelievable to see it, the level of brainwashing. And the media just won't give you any type of alternate view at all. Nothing, We've even got police quitting the police force over this. The police are terribly stressed out over what's going on because they're all constrained by, gag orders and all sorts of stuff. But, we've had police quitting the force just so they can speak out on behalf of the police of what's happening. And, the police are basically setting themselves up as the enemy of the people. But like I said, I think a lot of them are infiltrators. I don't think Australians would do this against Australian citizens. I mean, some of the police, sure, some of them are bad people. But, I think there's a spark of good in most people. And I think this level of violence, I've never seen anything like this. Especially here in this country, I've never seen anything like it. So I think they're infiltrators. I don't think they're actually Australians. I think they're working on behalf of a foreign occupying force. I mean, Australia is virtually under attack, just that people don't realise it,
By whom?
Well, that's a good question. The globalists, I guess, whoever you want to say the globalists are. Personally, I think it's all one big puppet show. I think they all work together. I think that all governments are a crime gang together, and I think they're all doing it. I mean, the globalists, whoever you want to blame that as being, whoever you want to point the finger at.
I wanted to maybe ahead of the curve, or we didn't take advantage of it. I get to see what was coming back in 2009-2010 with social media, and I didn't want to play. You know, it was creating alternatives and other stuff will, of course, keep you apprised of. But when you get banned or leave Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and on and on and on and on, and you go to these other platforms, what kind of restrictions are there coming on some of these other platforms that people have, you know, thought alternative? You know, we had Steam it and the Mines, and then it gets to Odyssey, and then BitChute and Rumble, and I mean, it goes on and on and on, and I see it eking in everywhere. Are you feeling that you found a platform and a voice that you're pretty stable now, or are they under threat also?
Well, they're under threat from the establishment. I mean, if you go and look up BitChute in Wikipedia, it tells you that it's a right-wing extremist hate platform. And that can't be edited. Most passages in Wikipedia can be edited, but that page can't be edited. So, I mean, it's under attack from the establishment. I've had pretty good run on BitChute. I mean, I haven't had any problems at all. If I do have problems, I can contact the CEO and he fixes them up for me pretty quick. So I haven't had any censorship problems with BitChute. I haven't had any with Odyssey. I've had a couple of videos removed from brand new YouTube, which I found interesting. An interesting one that I report that I did recently with a funeral director, John O'Looney, who he talked about how people have, you know, basically been killed by the medical industry in the UK. That got removed from brand YouTube after only 6 views, which was kind of strange, I thought. But I think they're pretty good so far. I mean, I haven't had any problem with Telegram or with Odyssey or with BitChute. I'm not on Rumble because I don't have a cell phone. But, I think pretty good. I mean, I've been removed from pretty well all of the mainstream ones. And they've done this so that they've kind of moved us over into an echo chamber. So you get a lot of the mainstream people won't want to go into BitChute because they think it's a right-wing extremist hate platform because that's what the mainstream tells them that it is, you know. So that's the problem as well, you know. We can't get to where a lot of the audience is and get them the information that they need. But I don't think there's that much censorship on these alternate platforms. I think they're pretty good, especially Odyssey. I mean, Odyssey's on a blockchain, so it's just there. Nothing can be deleted unless you delete it yourself, you know.
Well, this is going to be a battle of information. It's going to be a battle for general public opinion. It's going to be a battle of who gets to have the final say in the, you know, recorded, you know, old gray lady of record kind of crap. And I always saw the future was all about credibility. You know, there's going to be a point where who do you believe? And when you have people such as yourself that are out there, people go, yeah, you know what Max said. That makes you a target. You know, and it also makes you, you know, they want you on their side. You know, so I would imagine that you're marketed in one way or another by everybody and their grandma. You know, what is it that you think that the players are? Who would be on the side that wants to shut you up? Who are they?
Well, the globalists again, you know, the controlling hand, the people who are running the show. They don't want alternate voices out there. They certainly don't want people that's inspiring anybody else to stand up.
Well, this is, you know, when you say, you know, the globalist, I mean, I understand what you mean, but as it manifests, here's what I'm thinking. When you're looking at, excuse me, the Five Eyes, you got New Zealand, Australia, Canada, England, United States. It seems where goes one goes the others, and certainly with Great Britain, you got the Queen's face on your money. I mean, you know, they want to, you know, tell you what's up, and I'm wondering the direction by which Australia goes. Is it directed from the House of Windsor? I mean, is it, you know, World Economic Forum? Is it they, them, those? You know, is it central banking? Are they all the same thing now? You know,
they're all the same thing. They're all arms of the same octopus. I mean, you can look at the whole Zionist control, the need to merge all races into one, apart from the chosen ones. But again, you know, it's not all of them as well. So, you know, but there's certainly that in there. But the Five Eyes nations, I mean, this is basically what they're setting up is almost like the new Atlantis, you know, what they're setting up with the Five Eyed Nations. It's going to be a mass surveillance control hub that they can then influence the rest of the world with. And they'll go to the third world. They'll turn the third world into what they want as well. I'll just leave that to later. That's what they call it, the third world. It's the third level of the game they're playing, you know. So, but I mean, sure, there's certainly a Zionist element there. But go and look at the banking system, the Vatican, the Zionist element, the Freemasons, the Rothschilds, the whole. It's all the one thing. It's all this one mechanism. You've got all these secret societies that are doing their own thing. But within those secret societies, you have one or two members who are part of another secret society above that the rest of them don't know about, you know. So it goes up the chain like that. You know, and ultimately it's about depopulation and control of whoever's left, you know.
Okay, so, now that's one thing that, you know, we hear a lot about, and we talk a lot about, you know, James Corbett focuses on quite a bit is the eugenic aspect of this. And they come right out and tell you, you know, they're proud of it. Gosh darn it, we need to reduce the size of, and you're on the list. And they're so blatant about it. And they want you to, and then whoever's left, you know, you have any free will. You know, we know how to manipulate you. We got enough data on you. I just watched, rewatched Captain America Winter Soldier. And the whole premise of the whole thing was they knew that they could just take out 20 million people, you know, target them through their social media scores and this and that, and they have their little helicarrier, goes up, push a button, and zap, all these people are dead. You know, they just, you know, just physically lay waste to them. And all of a sudden, their problems are going to be solved. And I've heard this type of argument before. If you get rid of these 5,000 terrorists, then you wouldn't have any more terrorists, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm just going, this is the mindset that they're coming in. And whether they believe it or not, they sure as hell are marketing it. So I want to know who the people are that are resistant, that would be on that list, the ones that go to these protests, the ones that, screw you, I'm not doing it, I'm lining up here, and you can bite me, and I'll run through your police line. Because when the Australian truckers, which has always happened, truckers, they rule, man. Whenever they say something, that's just the way it is. I mean, we've had that happen in America before. They were kind of threatening they were going to do something, truckers here, but they, you know, they never got to that yet. But when the truckers said, nope, you know, we're sitting on the side, and we're not getting the vaccine, and they go, you know what, you're exempt. We just decided, you know, we're sorry for having, you know, bothered you. You know, these people that have the confidence or in the position to throw their weight around is represented by whom other than truckers? Who is it a philosophy? Is it a location? Is it more rural than it is urban? Is it a different kind of person? Is it a party? Is it an age bracket? I mean, how would you describe the people that are in the streets?
Look, I think they're everybody. It's got to the point that everybody's seeing it now. It's not a conspiracy theory anymore. Like, when you look at the protests in the street now, they're tradesmen. They're all the tradesmen, just of all ages and all trades. And now they're being joined by shopkeepers, and they're being joined by nurses, and they're being joined by even some off-duty police, because all this whole vaccine mandate's rolling out with everybody. So everybody's kind of seeing it, but everybody's kind of constrained by their belief that what the politicians write on paper must be adhered to. It's the law, you know. We can't do this, we can't do that. Or we can't go and arrest the politicians because, you know, parliamentary privilege and all this sort of crap, you know. So, but it's everybody. I mean, everybody is seeing it now. It's just taken a while because, I mean, people are not confrontational. Most people are cooperative and they don't like confrontation. And people don't want to fight. They don't want to get out in the streets. They don't want to have to battle for their lives. They just want everything to go back to normal. But it's getting to the point where they're saying it's not going to. So you're getting people of all age groups. People that are like from 9 to 90 are out there in the streets now. So, you know, everybody's seeing it, brother. Everybody's seeing it. And people are seeing the need to push back. And even the police are trying to figure out how they can get on the sides of the people. They're not bright enough to realize that all you got to do is drop your shield and take your helmet off and turn around and face the other way. That's all you actually have to do, you know. I've been even suggesting that when they go to these protests, they build a gallows at the front of Parliament House. Just go build a gallows. Just build it there as a statement. There you go. Come out and talk to us, Dan. You know, we've got a table here for you. We've got a garden setting here for you anytime you want to come out. That would be a great statement. At least show the politicians that we mean business, you know. This is treason. What they're doing is treason. Everybody's seeing that now, so, you know.
Well, the history in America has been such that they would actually have judges hanging from, you know, lampposts. I mean, you know, all of a sudden you'd wake up, the fog would clear, and there'd be, you know, and they're dead, you know. There's been, and that was one thing, I want to ask you this. You probably know more about America than, you know, most Australians, but the perception of America, I think in the rest of the world, they think it is a homogenous, ruled from Washington, D.C. kind of central command, Biden's in charge thing. When in reality, it's, you know, 50 states of, you know, they're all different and they do what they want and, you know, and you piss them off enough and they just secede. I mean, you know, I just did a show a couple of days ago on New Hampshire filed secession declaration, you know, and it's going through their process in the House and stuff now. And it was really simple. I mean, you know, Declaration of Independence is, and here's all the reasons why. Theirs was, it was two sentences. I break with thee, I break with thee, I break with thee, and we throw dog poop on your shoes. I mean, you know, we're done. We're sovereign state, and, you know, and we don't need to give a reason. We're out. And I'm going, wow, that was simple. Okay. So this is the mindset in most Australians. Do they see that the states are different? You know, like South Dakota, we're not playing. Montana, we don't have any vax or mass orders. Texas, we're not doing this or that. Or so, I mean, do they see, like, it's little insurrections against the central command? And I would imagine Australia is not that way. I mean, you have, you know, the, you know, your states, your provinces, whatever you call them, they're not as autonomous, or are they? And how are you? Do you think America is perceived that way?
Well, I kind of know that's what America's like, so I don't know how other Australians perceive it, but I know America's pretty autonomous within its states, you know. So, but over here we don't. I mean, over here, it's weird the way they've got it. I mean, it's a Commonwealth setup. So, you know, you've got central command in Canberra, the federal government kind of runs the whole show. But then basically the states can do what they want. I mean, the federal government can't stop all of the tyranny that Daniel Andrews is doing in Victoria. That's his decision. But again, they'll say that it can't be a separate state. It can't be a separate country. It can't secede or anything like that. So it's kind of half a dozen of one and six of the other, you know. They kind of, they've just got a way of fobbing the blame for their actions off onto everybody else, and it never really goes anywhere. That's the way the Australian political system is set up. So they can just basically do whatever they want, and they can say, well, it's not our fault. It's their fault. We don't have any control over it, you know. It's just it's a scam. The whole thing is a scam, really. But it's, I mean, we don't even have a valid government system here. They incorporated in 1973, and so they've been invalid ever since. It's not even a real government we have here. So it's a complete can of worms.
Okay, whoa. Say that again. It's been invalidated. What are you talking about?
Well, the government incorporated in 1973 with the Australia Act and everything they did in 1973. They basically abdicated their right to any authority, and they created a corporate mechanism that looks like a government, but it isn't a government. I mean, all governments are corporate anyway. But they took it to the next level here in Australia in 1973. We actually haven't had valid government here since 1973, but the people don't know that.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm glad we had this conversation. I wanted to make sure that we got your perspective there on what's really happening, but where it's going. Is there any rumblings of you're going to have your own founding father kind of, you know, have mountains with faces on, heroes coming out, and Max Egan on a coin kind of thing? I mean, you know, is there something coming? Can you feel it?
I hope so. I really do hope so. There is a new political party that's been formed by a guy called Clive Palmer and Craig Kelly, and he could kind of be Australia's Donald Trump, only the real version. who actually, because he is actually a bit of a patriot and he is actually a freedom fighter, so that could be one thing. But he's a corporate mining magnate as well. But, you know, he might be in a position to be able to move us back to a point of safety and actually bring about some arrests of these people. That would be really good. Apart from that, I mean, I think it's like the police are pushing for civil war. It's like the police are doing right. such an incredible amount of violence that they're trying to push the country into civil war before there's the next election in May. Because if they can get that violent confrontation to happen before May, then there won't be an election and there won't be any way to get these two-party system out of power. Because, you know, the two-party system, it's not two parties. It's one party. It just looks like two parties. It's a functional rotational dictatorship that looks like two parties, but it's two sides of the same coin, you know. But what they're doing now with this United Australia Party, which has actually got more members in a matter of a month than both the other political parties combined, I think. It's got more members of them. So many people want this two-party system gone. So that's one of the reasons, I think, for this level of violence, because they're virtually pushing us to civil war. The police are pushing
us. Let's talk about that for you. I want to, you know, it seems to me that there's an instigation for violence. And a lot of people are going, yeah, we need to rise up, get your rifle, rise up. And I'm going, you know, it always comes down to general public opinion. I mean, it's just going to be when we don't want to play, we won't play. I mean, that just, you know, we're done. But I can see it serves the interest of the bad guys. They, them, those won't leave us alone. If there's violence, they need the violence. They need to be sure that there's some bloodshed. There's some bad guys to go after. You know, they start bringing out the nukes. You know, they got the slaughter bots. They're bringing in the drones. They're, you know, busting in doors, taking children away, you know, force inoculating, doing checkpoints, get on the bus, into the camps. And they're building camps. Oh, you got to tell me about that. And sitting there proud of it in Queensland, I think it is. They got camps. You know, tell us about your camps.
Quarantine centers, mate. Yeah, for the dangerous people. Quarantine centres. They're building them in the UK as well. Huge super prisons. You know, they're calling them quarantine centres. But you're right, they want to push it into violence. That's what they want to do. And that's why this level. You know, the only way you could ever have an uprising and actually get violent, and, you know, it's got to the point that, yeah, you want to go and kill these cops. You need to go and find these guys that are doing this stuff and take them out. It's really got to that point. But you can't do that without the massive of public opinion behind you, you know, and it isn't that far yet. I mean, if you had an uprising now, it would only be a small amount of the population, and the media would just play them off as terrorists or whatever and vilify them and whatever. You know, I wouldn't even be surprised. I mean, this is why the cops are using rubber bullets and making sure they're hurting people. They're just hoping someone out there is going to pull out a real gun and shoot back at them with a real bullet, because then they can start using real bullets as well. That's why they're only using rubber bullets and not real bullets, because as soon as they actually kill someone, as soon as they kill a protester and use a bullet to do it, and they start firing on Australian citizens, it'll be next level. And so they've got to make us do that. I even wouldn't be surprised if you get a Jean Provocateurs in there in the crowd mixing with the protesters, and one of them actually shoots a cop and fires the first shot, you know, and actually shoots a cop with a real bullet, probably some cop who doesn't like what he's doing, you know, and was wanting to complain to his boss. So, you know, it wouldn't be surprised if they even send in a Jean Provocateurs to escalate it to that level, because they always do.
That's just standard operating procedure, you know.
Yeah, It really does appear, though, that they want to move this country into civil war before the election in May 14th, I think.
Because why? To declare no election?
Because if Clive Palmer and Craig Kelly's party, if they have an election, these two parties are going to get voted out. This country is pissed off with what these governments are doing. And for Clive Palmer's party to have that many members that quickly, this is a real threat to the government system. This is a real threat to the two-party system. And if they allow that election to go ahead, they're going to get thrown out, Liberal or Labor.
How much confidence do you have in the election process? I mean, I got way too much experience in elections to have any of that kind of faith. that election's
not a lot.
Affect.
Not a lot, but I think we still have paper ballots here. I don't know if it's electronic here. I mean, I don't know. I don't vote. I'm not on the electoral roll. But I think we still have paper ballots here. So, you know, there's a chance, you know, there's a chance. I mean, I don't have any faith in the electoral system either, but there's a chance. Like I said, people, we don't want confrontation if we can help it. And if it really does lapse into civil war, we wouldn't make it without some sort of outside help. We'd need someone to come and bring us arms.
Okay, the ultimate goal of this, are they trying to out and drive out, you know, dissenters? I mean, if people, you know, yeah, move, are they letting them leave? You know, if I go, you know, I'm done, man. I'm going to, I don't know where the hell else you go. You know, it's not.
They won't let people out of the country. You've got to apply for travel exemptions and stuff. There's been 220,000 people apply to leave the country since March last year, and 65% of them have been rejected. You've literally got to apply to leave. You can't just go and buy a ticket and leave. I've actually got to give a reason to leave. I've got to go and apply. Then they've got to approve that. It's only for a certain number of reasons. And you've got to be gone for more than 3 months, and you've got to agree to isolate yourself in quarantine when you get home at your own expense and all this sort of crap, you know. So there's all sorts of conditions and guidelines, and they're just not letting people leave the country.
Why? I mean, what's the purpose?
Well, I think, you know, depopulation. It's like a stocktake, brother. They're closing the pen. You know, they want to depopulate this earth, and they want to be able to completely control those who are left. You know, with all of this gene therapy they're putting into people, this genetic modification that they're doing to people, they'll be able to monitor their thoughts, hook them up to the mainframe, replace their feelings, I mean, all sorts of stuff. So, and a lot of people will die from it, and that's fine. They don't want everybody here. They only need enough people to run the infrastructure, and they want to be able to control the ones that are left. So that's the goal, is to get rid of most of the people. And weed out all the dissenters, sure. Find out where they are. They're all out there protesting in the street, so we can get facial recognition on them, and we can make sure we give the correct jabs to them, or at least grab them, collect them, and put them in the camps, quarantine centers for their safety, you know.
You know, here in America, we get a lot of, and around the world, I mean, we're getting a lot of pushback from doctors and nurses and so on. And we just did an event in Prescott, Arizona, where regional small, you know, county hospital there said you have to be fully vaccinated by September 22nd or your voluntary termination of you're not complying of you're gone. And you know, we do a bunch of activities and signs and protest, and a lot of the employees going, no, we're not doing it. And they have rallies and fundraisers for them and everything. It's just the community came together, and all of a sudden they go, you know, we're going to push that back to November 1st, you know. And I can see that they didn't anticipate this type of, or they were just testing, or so I don't know what they were thinking was going to happen. What is the attitude of the healthcare professionals themselves and them, you know, what I got from it, a lot of the people, I mean, way, way too many in a small hospital to where they get some kind of palsy. You know, they die. They have, and all it takes is a few people. That's a high percentage. Certainly if it's someone you liked and you knew and they have all these problems, they're going, I'm not doing it. Fire me. You know, but you're going to have to fire me. Oh, no. Well, you're voluntary. I'm here ready to work, man. I'm trying to log in. You got to fire me. You know, fire me. I'll make them make you, you know. So this is, I want to know what you think the healthcare professionals themselves, the doctors and nurses and the EMTs and the firemen and stuff in Australia, are they pushing back? Are they, we're not taking it? Now, the officers that are out there pounding heads, I'm sure they got their double dose of something, you know, but what's the medical community's attitude?
Well, a lot of them are pushing back. There's whole lawsuits happening in all states here in Australia from the nurses union. Even the police are pushing back because they want to mandatory jab the cops as well. And they're saying, no, we don't want to do it. Because they're seeing all the victims. They're seeing how many people they're actually picking up, dead people they're collecting. So, yeah, there is major pushback. You know, the interesting thing is that they didn't push back until it actually came to them. They let everybody go through this for the last 18 or 19 months. But now it's come to them. They are pushing back, and they are launching lawsuits and all sorts of stuff and legal actions against it. So, yeah, I mean, maybe they will see it, and maybe they won't take it. I mean, maybe that will be something that does help the greater community. I don't think the government expected this amount of pushback that they are getting, and they are getting it. So, yeah, I'm good on them. Good on them for doing it. Like I said, I wish they'd done it earlier. But, yeah, they are pushing back. A lot of them won't have it. The nurses don't want to have it. And the cops don't want to have it. The firefighters don't want to have it. The unionists, the tradies don't want to have it. So, yeah, nobody wants it, brother.
Well, I'm glad you're there to document. Is that, you know, can we count on you to be, I don't know, on where do you consider yourself? Are you on the front lines? You're on the sidelines? You're just having an opinion? You know, what kind of responsibilities do you think you have?
Look, I only do this because it needs to be done, Ernie. I mean, I didn't, this wasn't even really a career that I chose to do. I prefer to be doing other things. But, I mean, I'll continue to offer my opinion and to offer my voice and to observe things the way I do, hopefully inspire people. And I wouldn't consider myself to be a frontline warrior because I'm not old. I mean, I'm not young enough for that. You know, I'm sort of old and frail now. I can't get out there with a sword and go battle the police. But I can do what I do. I can continue to bring information and hopefully inspire people. And that's kind of my role, I guess. I guess some people would consider me to be out there on the front line. I mean, maybe I am in a alternative media sense, but I mean, I just do what I do, and I'll continue to do it. I won't ever put this torch down until the battle's won, so I'm not going to go anywhere. And the thing is, I can do this from anywhere anyway, so even if I have to retreat from here to higher ground, I can still do what I do, you know?
You know, there's a big power in inspiration, and I'm wondering, is Australia inspired by actions or a group or an individual there or abroad, or is there some, you know, group or individual that has an impact or a spark of what's going on in Australia? Is there some historical figure or a politician or something that's, you know, sparked, you know, what we've been waiting for?
Well, I think maybe just the spirit of the Anzacs, brother. I mean, a lot of the protests we're seeing in Victoria and in Sydney, they're all gathered around the Shrine of Remembrance. You know, the diggers who fought in the wars for our freedom is what inspires the Australian people more than anything. I don't know there'd be any one figure. People find the Eureka Stockade encounter to be inspiring. That was the only ever time that there's ever been any attempt at a revolution in this country was Eureka Stockade. But that's about it, I think, just the spirit of the Anzacs, the Anzac spirit. That's what inspires these people. They will stand up eventually. They will stand up. They're a really staunch bunch, the Australians. And the fact that you're seeing so many people marching in the street now against all odds, going up against thousands of police, all in body armour and stuff, and these are just guys in high-vis jackets, just tradies and stuff, so... You're seeing this spirit coming out in people now, and I think that Anzac spirit is what inspires them and will inspire them into the future.
Okay, what are you saying? I'm not quite understanding that.
Anzac.
What does that mean?
Australian and New Zealand Army Corps. And New Zealand Alliance in World War I and World War II.
Yeah, New Zealand, man, they've gone bat crap crazy too, you know?
It's nuts. It's not as bad as here. But the Anzacs were incredible fighters in the wars. Like when the Anzacs went over to help out in World War I and World War II, the British and Americans would put the Australian New Zealand troops out on the front line to lead the charge because you don't mess with these guys. These guys were just, they're stormtroopers. I just walked straight over you. So they were very staunch fighters, and that's why they put them out there in the front line. And that spirit is still in the Australian people.
Okay, final question. I know you got to get going. It's late there. What time is it there? I mean, you're staying up for us.
10 to midnight, bro.
Oh, we got to get you to bed. Okay, the when you have a prime minister, or you got a health official, or you got the, you know, Chancellor, Z commander of head of whatever the hell, their support cabinet and structure, the way it's set up in Australia, is what? I'm wondering, you know, what are you looking at in a government when you have an election? If you're counting on an election to change something who's really in charge? You know, here in America, you would think that, you know, hell, you don't even know who the hell's in charge. You know, they, them, those. Right? You know, they're going to do whatever the hell they're going to do. What is it that is the machine that's implementing this stuff?
Well, it's kind of like the Westminster system. It's not like anything you've got with the Electoral College and any of that sort of stuff who really decides the elections. It's kind of first past the post here. So, I mean, you've got a preferential voting system, but it's still kind of first past the post. So if you get a third party come in there, like Clive Palmer's party, and everyone votes for that party and gives their preferences to other ones, well, you know, if they get enough votes, well, they'll get in. It's as simple as that. And there isn't any type of Electoral College decision or anything like that that has to go with it. So in some ways, it could be a functional system, you know. I mean, like I said, I don't have any faith in the political system at all. But, you know, even saying that, I can't see any way for us to move our societies directly into a point of anarchy, into a point of self-governance. I think it would be a process. You know, if you just got rid of government altogether, unfortunately, the majority of the people aren't educated enough to know how to look after themselves, and it would be chaos, and millions of people would die because they're dependent upon that government system. So you need to create some sort of honesty within that government system to be able to lead us back to a point of safety.
The economics is going to trump all that stuff. It isn't going to matter.
Well, yeah, that's the problem, you see, yeah. I actually discussed that on the show today, the last report I just said, the economic system, this slavery to economics is really what has led us to this point. That's what's getting the cops to do all this shit. I mean, the cops are there that don't want to enforce it. They're going, well, I've got no choice. I got to put food on the table. This is what I'm paid to do. And I don't have the skill set to get another job.
Yeah, well, you and I are old enough to remember the Soviet Union when the Soviet tanks go into, you know, they're in Moscow and they're expected to lay waste to the, you know, the people. And they're going, look, you're not paying me. You know, yeah. So we ain't doing it, you know, and so this, it always comes down to, you know, are you paying me? You know, the Trudeau in Canada, he did a snap election. Of course, they're full of their own BS. And he thought that he was going to be able to get a majority and just run roughshod over everybody and do whatever he wanted. Well, that didn't happen. And if you have a third party in a parliamentary system, if you don't have a majority, just do whatever you want. Well, then you got to negotiate, you know, with these other parties and their block of votes and yada, yada, yada. Well, when you have this other third party, go, look, we're the anti this stuff. We're not going to, you want to get something passed. You want a budget. You want to go to war. You want to get a program. You want to, you know, extend a debt ceiling. You want to. You're going to have to deal with us now. Well, that may very well be what comes out of this. But then the people that they're negotiating with, the powers that be, the central command, the they, them, those, the globalists, the whatever, they're still sitting in there with in charge, having their shiny badges, telling people what to do, and they're doing the machinations behind the scenes of we're bribing, blackmailing, doing whatever. It's not going to stop. And this is going to come down to a food thing. You know, they will control you with economics, with food, and a lot of it, and voting, you know, it might give you, kind of a steam valve or a buffer, or the people get to express their opinion. But I see what's coming is economic, and it's inevitable. So we've got to prepare ourselves to make sure we keep breathing in and out. And my biggest concern is to maintain our humanity. I do not want, you want to get the eye of the tiger? You want to piss off grandpa? That'd be a bad idea, you know? But I'm just going, this is, I want to maintain my humanity and just be left alone. Because, you know, you get to a certain point, grandpa's going to start getting involved here, and then it's on. So I don't know if they really want what they're bucking for.
Yeah, either do I. I mean, if people really do arc up, it's going to come to them. And like I said, I don't see any faith in the political system. But if this third party does come in, I think they'll get a massive majority, and they won't be anybody in there to argue with them with what they want to do. So That would be good to see that happen. I'd love to see all these people get arrested and tried for their
crime. Oh, I feel some hopium coming on from Max, man. A little bit of hopium.
If it doesn't do that, it's going to be civil war, brother. It's going to be civil war. It's going to be the only way to get out of this mess.
You know, without the credible threat of a civil, of real resistance, without that, really, that's one thing. You know, is Australia, the people, are they, do they have any squirreled away arms? I mean, are they... You know, did they get totally disarmed, or they got, you know, shipping containers buried in the outback, or what?
I think there's a few squirreled away around the place, but, you know, if it came to that, I mean, the powers that believe they be have got more, so, you know, hopefully it won't come to that, but, you know, maybe it will. Maybe it will, you know. It would be a shame, but maybe it will come to that. But I'm hoping that, you know, maybe there'll be some sort of a watershed moment, and the system will fail. I mean, I think... We're seeing enough uprising around the world. The big problem we've got here is, like I said, if they can push it into civil war before the election, and the food shortages. I mean, I'm really expecting to see some crazy stuff before the end of the year. October, November, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't even get a chance for an election. I mean, they've got a lot of aces up their sleeve. Something they did in Victoria the other day is they shut down communication for all of Victoria the other day.
What?
I think it was yesterday. They changed the phone network from 4G down to 3G. So everybody with their 4G phones and their 5G phones, none of the networks would work. So no one could coordinate any protests. See, this is one of the reasons they've moved us all over to this digital. I had a friend in Western Australia trying to call his girlfriend in Melbourne, and he couldn't because she doesn't have a landline. A lot of people don't even have landlines anymore. They just use their cell phones. So all they got to do is change the network, and suddenly your cell phone doesn't work. You can't get online.
Okay, wait, time out. So this is what, yesterday or a couple of days ago, you said? Yeah,
yesterday or the day before.
Okay, they just flipped the switch, and all of a sudden your phones don't work. Life sucks.
That's it. That's what they did in Victoria.
Wow.
I think it was yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So that's what they can do. That's something I've been warning people about. That's why they're moving everything over to this.
Donna, make sure you look that
all digital.
Look that
once
up.
Once it's all digital, they can just shut you down. All they got to do is change the frequency. So the only people that would have had phones yesterday were people that have still got their old flip 3G phones. You know, how many people you know have got their old phones?
You know? Oh my goodness! You know, Australia yesterday they just flipped from 4G, 5G down to 3G, and nobody could communicate together. You know, look that up. I want to make sure we get that story in. Breaking news from Max Egan. You know, I'm optimistic long term because I just have faith in humanity. It's all about general public opinion, and they bit off way more than I think they could chew, and they don't have the capacity to understand what they're doing. They can't. You know, they're the architect in the matrix. I mean, they can't understand it. You know, that's not how they work. They're parasites. They live off of our creativity. They live off our ingenuity and our humanity and our creativeness because they can't. You know, they need us to do whatever it is that they want to do, and they just, you know, leech off of us. Well, you know, when we just like, we're not playing anymore, or we're not helping, or we're not supporting the beast that's devouring us anymore, then their power just goes away. And the preparedness of the Australian people, is there a big prepper movement kind of thing? Are people starting to, you know, with friends and family going in the outback and planting crops, buying land, getting RVs? Are they, you know, preparing for what they believe might be coming?
But not enough, but some of them are. And I think we'll get through as well. I think things are going to get really ugly yet. I think a lot of people won't make it. But those who do, the pureness of that spirit that will get through will overcome. You know, humanity will overcome this, and we will get back to a point of safety. If we don't, then it will be the end of humanity. And I think a lot of people are seeing that, because what they want to do, this will be the end of humanity if they get away with it and manage to bring off this whole transhumanist nightmare they want to create. But I think the spark of divinity will find its way through. I really do. But we've just got to be prepared for some pretty ugly times ahead, and find out how to ride the wave for the next couple of years to get through it.
I'm with you, brother. It's a good versus evil, you know, bad guys, good guys, you know, could it be Satan? I mean, you know, this is definitely the battle. And I'm glad you're there to help us with it. You know, thank you for spending this extra time with us. I know it's rough for you to be up this late, but, you know, and me this early. But, you know, so it's been awesome getting in touch with you again, Max. We'll go ahead and, you know, stay in touch because we are paying attention to Australia. And it's because we were so surprised that Australia was so compliant so much for so long. It's good to see them starting to, you know, resist. But I was like, man, don't you have enough influence, Max, to get them boys going, you know? But
I've been trying.
Well, it seems like you're having some impact. Max Egan, give out the crowhouse.com, thecrowhouse.com. You can find all things Max Egan. Thanks a lot, Max. This was awesome.
Thank you, bro. Talk soon.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Cool.
Recording stopped.
Whoa.